fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today, one more day, with my good friend, Dr. Joey McCoy. We're talking about discipleship. We're talking about the urgent moment we're living in the church today, the call of Jesus in our time to raise up men and women, young and old, who hear his call and are passionately desired to respond to what's first on his plate, which is go make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
Joey's been caught up in that himself, and he's been sharing with us this week passion of his own heart. Welcome back, Joey.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah. I want to talk today about a little bit about the process of discipleship.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about go make disciples. Make is the active,
right.
The verb there, whatever. Right.
Right?
So what are we making and how do you make it?
Yeah. Some of the most helpful language I've learned is, okay, draw a triangle or envision a triangle. This is the three parts of discipleship. At the top of the triangle is information or teaching. There are parts of discipleship which is just like learning who is Jesus,
mm-hmm.
learning how he lived his life.
What were his claims?
What were his claims?
Yeah.
What were his commands? What did he put forward to be the normative way of being with him? And it's helpful to receive content out there. You can study in order for that kind of thing. But let me say up front, actually, this is going to be very unsatisfying for people who like to think of, okay, the church is drowning. We need a big solution that reaches a ton of people right now, which is essentially getting to a programmatic way of thinking about church, which is dead center of what we need to move off of. We need to stop thinking about the church as an event-based, programmatic way of doing things and more of a life on life, life in community, life on mission kind of piece. And we don't have time to really go into what all that might look like.
What does life on life mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, maybe the best example is, okay, how is someone made a disciple? I'll think of myself. The only way I was made a disciple is because people took interest in me and discipled me, you being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Easter Vigil image of one candle lighting the next candle.
So it doesn't happen in a mass audience.
It
or a
does
big
not.
Audience. I mean, positive things can certainly happen there.
Yep.
But you're talking about the process of discipleship. I think sometimes
right.
larger meetings where there's great preaching stuff can be a moment of conversion.
Totally.
Good preaching. But the question is how do you get formed as a disciple?
Yeah.
How do you conform your life to Christ?
Exactly.
Somebody's got to help you do that.
Yeah. It's like the next part of that triangle, right, that information's at the top, which is if we just reduce our way of doing church to classes and events and all that kind of stuff, it just stays there. It's just information. It's just an information download. The faith stays cerebral, and it doesn't necessarily become a lived out. Jesus was not an intellectual, right? He didn't come as a philosopher king. He came as a carpenter. So already, if we just stick to that, we're off of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
The second corner of the triangle is imitation. And this is what we're getting at. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, but he talks about imitate me. You have many, the Greek word is pedagogos, which is basically nannies, right? You have many guardians, but you only have one father. I fathered you, Corinthians, now imitate me. And what is Paul saying there? He's not saying I'm the greatest, but Paul knows what the process of discipleship is, that if you are a disciple, that means Jesus has claimed your property, and he's now living on it. And so he's begging you, let me jump from you to another person. Let the infection spread.
Yeah.
And the only way that's going to happen is if you get close enough to somebody, you allow someone to have access to your life, you allow who you are to be visible to them, not because you're the perfect example, but you're a living example. And without that living example, the process of discipleship is stymied.
Mm-hmm.
And certain maybe special people can catch it all from just information. But that's not us. That's
right.
Not all of us. Yeah,
most people, and that's not how most people learn.
Right,
to
absolutely.
To give their whole life to something.
Yeah, exactly.
Making their head in. So, and it's a little bit like, I know him. Someone says, I've met him. Can you show me something? Can you teach me something?
Yeah.
He said, come with me. I'm following him. I can show you how to follow him.
Yeah.
And Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So Paul's imitating Christ. Paul is saying, imitate me. I'm imitating him. And that's really what it is. We're all looking to be, as you were saying earlier, little Christ, little Jesus is in the world. I mean, literally, that's it.
Yeah, and if a disciple is coming to worship Jesus in all of life, obey Jesus in all of life, be transformed by Jesus in all of life, the only way you know if all of your life is really being transformed like that, which is a really radical thing, is if someone has access to your life and they can see, they can tell, okay, here's where you're maybe not giving everything to Jesus. Here's maybe where you're not obeying this. Here's maybe where you're not being transformed in this way. But if we just reduce the faith to come and get some information, then go home, and I have no idea if you're actually becoming a disciple, but just come back and continue to get the information, and you can regurgitate the doctrine, so you must be a disciple. Not true at all. We have to act our ways in a new way of thinking often, instead of thinking our ways in a new way of acting.
Yeah.
So we have to see it acted out in somebody. And then once we have the information and the imitation, and in this process, our torch is being lit by another person's torch, and we're becoming fully discipled, we're growing into maturity in Christ, then the other corner of the triangle is innovation, or now we are able to go disciple others and use our torch so that others might be lit off of that, in context that the person who discipled us is not in. Mm-hmm. And this is how it spreads. The church is just a multiplication of disciples. That's literally all the church is. You know, we can think of it that simply, I think. Mm-hmm. And the innovation piece is just that to understand that a disciple is always and forever someone who eventually, and probably sooner than they would like to think, is going to be making disciples themselves. Why? Because the person you are now, which is, like Paul uses the phrase, the Christ in me, right? Mm-hmm. The hope of glory. I am no longer myself. I have died, and is now Christ who lives in me. So I don't have any authority over Jesus in me. Jesus in me needs to go to Jesus and other people. So I have to then make my life accessible. I have to make my life visible so that other people can grow into maturity in Christ too. So I would say, if you're listening and you like are resonating with everything we're saying, you're like, yeah, I think I look at my life, I think I am a disciple. Then I challenge you to ask yourself, who are you allowing into your life to be imitators of you because you're imitating Jesus? Who are you actively making disciples of? And they don't have to be believers. They can be unbelievers too. That's a different kind of process. But if we're not having someone follow us and learning from us, then we have to ask ourselves, am I actually being a disciple of Jesus in all of life? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus himself made disciples. And being a disciple means I just want to do what he does.
Here's a thought. Persons who may be listening and you're a regular churchgoer, you do care. You do have faith. But the kind of thing we're talking about right now has never really been part of your way of understanding how you're supposed to live your faith. Like, there has been a way in certain areas of the church, I think a predominant view is, like, it's not good to talk to people about what you believe. Don't bring it up in public. Like, don't talk to other people. It's bad form. It's bad manners.
You might get something wrong.
Yeah. And so we don't do that. We, as Catholics, what we do is we live our faith by example. And example is what... So if people are interested, they'll come and talk. So I'm just trying to be the best person I can be every day.
Yeah.
I'm kind to my neighbors. I'm honest. I serve people, that kind of thing. But the idea that you in that context are being sent to imitate Christ, and Jesus wants to reach out through you to help bring them to faith. And the church saying that evangelization and living this lifestyle is always a combination of proclamation and witness. It's not just the witness of a certain kind of life, but it's speaking the name of Jesus. You intentionally want to introduce people to this person that informs your whole life, that is part of the normal Catholic life. That's a hump that we have to get over.
Right.
And being willing to do that.
Yeah.
It's outside our comfort zone. So you might be feeling the pain right now of what you're seeing happen in the church, and you might feel the frustration that we can't turn the tide. We can't do something. I want to do something, but I don't know what to do because the groove I've been living in,
we
just keep doing the same things.
Right.
And we're not reaching beyond it. How do we get that to happen? Well, you think along the lines of what we're just talking about today. What I know is that Jesus wants me, as I mature, to become a disciple maker. He wants me to be concerned about communicating him to other people. And you might say, well, I have no idea how to do that, and it frightens me to think about it, and it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And say, okay, that's a hump he wants to help you get over, because you have to get over it. It's what it means to be a disciple, or you'll remain stunted. You'll be kind of passive. You'll be conscious of your own piety and what you need to do in your own life to obey the commandments and do right things. But he wants to break your heart for those who don't know him. That is his passion. That's why he's hanging on that cross. That's why he's at the right hand of the Father. Those who belong to him no longer belong to themselves. They belong to him.
Yeah.
And what does he want? He wants us to seek and save the lost. That's his top priority.
Yeah, so maybe a way to start is just to, when you go to Mass on Sunday, start praying, Lord, who is it in this church right now? Or who is it in my community, in my life, in my orbit, that you want me to help disciple? And Lord, I don't quite know what that means, but okay, I see it very clearly. These are your parting words to us, go make disciples. And you gave that job to formerly dishonest businessmen and hookers in the New Testament. So okay, maybe I'm not that bad. Maybe I could actually do something. And once again, you don't have to be the perfect example. You don't have to be the perfect teacher. You just have to be someone who knows Jesus and wants to help someone else discover him and discover that he really is worth crafting your whole life around. And just imagine yourself as a torch or a candle, just trying to help one other candle get lit. And what would that look like? You know, inviting people over for dinner and having, not valuing your privacy over their discipleship, that kind of stuff. Allowing someone to be able to come into a relationship of being able to see Jesus in you and thereby know how to imitate it.
Yeah.
And what's not of Jesus in you, you can leave that to the side.
Yeah.
Don't take those pieces.
Thinking of the words of John Paul II, he wrote a letter to the church in America years ago. He said, Church in America, you must learn again to speak the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And to understand that it's this simple in terms of being able to communicate people, say, why do I live the way I'm living?
Yeah.
Because I'm following a person.
Yeah.
I'm following Jesus.
Who died for all.
Yeah, and here's why I'm doing it. Because of who he is. And everything that the Catholic Church is, everything she does, all its concentric circles that grow out of, or whatever that grow out of that. So, Joe, it's our last minute here in the program this week. Why don't you close with a prayer for us and
let's
keep
your
eye on the ticker.
Let's do it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the immensity of your call. We thank you for your radical sentness into the world so that we might not be children of wrath, so we might not be trying to save ourselves in one way or another, but that you have purchased for us everything that we need. And you have given us your very life so that we may have life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, and we want to enter in totally and radically into a life with you. Please help us to hear your voice and the answer to two questions, what you are saying to us, and then what we're going to do about it. Lord, what are you saying to us? And then help us to know what we should do about it. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here, Joey. God bless.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.